I'd like you to turn with me, please, for one verse at the very last verse of the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, very last chapter, chapter 48, and the very last verse. Ezekiel, chapter 48. Remember, we have been studying for quite a time the kings of Judah, how the kingdom fell. There were three times Babylon came and took them away captive. The third time, Nebuchadnezzar had the city destroyed. Ezekiel was carried away into Babylon. Daniel was carried away. So these men lived at the time that Jeremiah was prophesying. And then the last king, Zedekiah, was killed. So it's all in that context of the fall of the kings of Judah. Verse 35, chapter 48 of Ezekiel, and it was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be The Lord Is There. If you have a margin Bible, it may say in the margin, it does in mine here, Hebrew, Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah. Let's just look to the Lord briefly. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this great truth, this closing verse of this prophetic book. And, O Lord, we praise thee that thou art the great Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God. O Lord, bless us as we look briefly at this great title, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Ezekiel, I said, he was taken from his hometown of Jerusalem, and he was taken away probably in the days of Jehoiakim. He was taken away to Babylon, and so was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and others. There were still false prophets around who said, yes, many of the young people have been taken captive, but don't worry, that's it. God will never allow the city of Jerusalem to fall. Jehovah will never allow his temple to be destroyed. Peace, peace, Jeremiah the prophet said, no, no. The city is going to fall. The temple is going to be destroyed. He was called a traitor. He was called a liar. But of course, Jeremiah's word came true. Now, while Jeremiah was prophesying that, and the kingdom of Judah, these various kings, remember we talked about Jehoiakim, and then his son Jehoiachin, all sound a bit similar, he was taken away captive to Babylon on the first time Babylonians came, and then his uncle Zedekiah, he was put on the throne, but then in a short time he was killed, and that was it. No more kings. We talked about that last week. And the wonderful promise, a righteous branch shall come. Jehovah said, can you? The Lord our righteousness, he'll come. And the Lord Jesus Christ came. And he is entitled to take the throne. There were no more kings after Zedekiah. Well, just to go back, in that period, when Zedekiah and the last years of his nephew, who was actually before him as king, were reigning, Jeremiah was prophesying, the city will fall. The city will fall. The city that God had chosen out of all the world. The place where the temple was. And in Babylon, hundreds of miles away, Ezekiel was prophesying. And the early chapters of the book of Ezekiel, he talks about the abominations that were taking place back in the temple in Jerusalem. He was hundreds of miles away. But he gets a vision of the glory of God in chapter 1, wheels within wheels. And then he talks about an interesting thing when you go down the early chapters. He said, I see in a vision the glory of God leaving the temple and going over the city. And then I see the glory of God disappearing. What's he talking about? What's he talking about? Well, in the Old Testament, God sometimes gave a cloud, a visible sign of the presence of he who is invisible. You think of Moses at the burning bush. The Lord was in the flame. The Lord was in the flame. The angel of the Lord spoke to him out of the flame. When the mountain Sinai, when the children of Israel gathered, the mountain shook, and there was a fiery presence, a fiery cloud above the mountain, a visible sign that God was there. Now, of course, God is everywhere. We know that. Didn't the psalmist say, though I make my bed in hell, thou art there? So in one sense, of course, the presence of God, he's omnipresent, we say. But when the Bible says he's there in a special sense to make himself known, to bless the people, to be approached. And then when the tabernacle was built, they put the sacrifice on the altar, the brazen altar, and they all stood back and waited. And suddenly, fire came from heaven. And that fire, of course, was kept burning. And then you know that above the tabernacle in those 40 years of wandering, there was a cloudy, fiery pillar. And sometimes in other passages that talks about the Shekinah glory, this bright, bright light that was a symbol of the Lord's presence. And at times God gave that visible sign. And he said, in the Ark of the Covenant, above in the mercy seat, there I will dwell. There I'll put my glory. There's verses that says he'll put his glory at Jerusalem. He chose Jerusalem. And then when Solomon built the temple, which was the permanent structure, do you remember what happened in 2 Chronicles? He, the, of course, David's son. Again, the glory of God came down and filled the house. And you could say, in a special sense, the Lord was there. The Lord was there. You see, before the Lord came, it was just a building. But when the Lord came, it was his home, the temple. Now, when Ezekiel goes further into his book, and we've talked about it in tracing the history of the kings of Judah, the temple's gone. The Babylonians destroyed it. The glory of God's departed. Jerusalem is razed to the ground. And Ezekiel looks forward. We've got the cloud. The Lord is there. Ah, but the city, as I say, is in ruins. But Ezekiel finishes his prophecy, and I'm not going to all the chapters, there's chapter after chapter, talking about a future temple and so on. But the point I'm after this, here's a wonderful promise. It's a promise, it's a prophecy. The very last words, it says, the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. It's looking forward to a day when the people would come back. Was looking even further into the future than that. The Lord is there, Jehovah Shammah. You see, in the Old Testament, that lovely name, Jehovah, by which God revealed himself, he links it to various characteristics. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He'll see to it. Jehovah Sekenu, last week, the Lord will pardon us. Jehovah our righteousness. To Gideon, he said, I am Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, your peace. We know him as Jehovah Ra'ah. Well, in our Bible, it's the Lord is my shepherd, but it's that double barrel, if you like, Jehovah Ra'ah. There's also the one Jehovah the healer, and so on. Jehovah Makedesh, Jehovah our sanctifier. And here's another one of these titles in the Old Testament. They're well worth studying. Jehovah, the Lord who is there. Now, how is this fulfilled? How is this fulfilled? Oh, I know it talks about the name of a city, but yet it says the Lord, the person. Well, I believe it was fulfilled in the person of Christ. It's a prophecy of Christ. How do I know? Because the Lord Jesus Christ came. And what does it say in John 1? He came and he dwelt. The Word became flesh. The second person of the Trinity, Jehovah, he took a human body and he dwelt and literally tabernacled, templed among us. In John chapter 2, John, the gospel that sets forth his deity, what does he say? He uses the temple building and then he turns to himself and says, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. Do you remember when they went to crucify him, they used that against him and said it was blasphemy. Did he not say he was going to destroy this literal temple? No, he didn't. Never said that. What he said was that, remember the temple of course was rebuilt. rebuilt by that time. It's actually a temple Herod built. Our Lord Jesus Christ was saying, look, that's a temple, but I'm the fulfillment of it. I remember preaching some years ago on Christ, the true temple. Christ, the true temple. There's so many parallels between that temple in Jerusalem and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as the Holy Spirit, the cloud, the glory came upon that temple in Solomon's time and earlier the tabernacle, the glory of God was in the Lord Jesus Christ. In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Oh, the glory was veiled. Except for that brief moment on the Mount of Transfiguration when it shone out. But the Lord Jesus Christ, you could say about him in a special way, the Lord is there. The Lord is there. He is the Jehovah Shammah. Ah, but then the church. In the Old Testament, God had a temple in which his people worshipped. In the New Testament, his people are the temple. Didn't we think about that this morning when we received four new members in the full fellowship? What does it mean? We're the temple. And in a special sense, when you read Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, the church is the temple. The church is the temple. We're told in Ephesians 2:21, we're a spiritual house and habitation of God through the Spirit. And when the church of God meet, the saved, into a local church, you can say about that church when we meet for worship, this is what makes worship real. This is what makes worship worship. The spiritual praises, we're priests unto God, men and women. All the saved. And when we gather on his day, and as we gather this morning around the Lord's table, we can say in a special sense, the Lord is there. Now, he's everywhere in the world. We know that. But in the sense that Ezekiel is talking about, when the church meets, the Lord is there. He's there in a special sense to fill his church. And of course, times of revival when he moves. The cloud. The person of Christ. The church, the Christian. Because in 1 Corinthians 3, and then also in chapter 6, we're told that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're saved tonight. The Holy Ghost has taken up residence within your body. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. I remember preaching one time and the title I took was, it may be your body, but it's his temple. That's why a true Christian can never say, don't talk to me about what I should do or don't do. It's my life. No, if you're saved, it's not. It's his temple. That's why the body of a Christian. And I'm thinking now of the thought life and the mind and yes, the body is more sacred than any building upon earth. Because today, the Lord does not dwell in temples made with hands, but he dwells in every Christian. Not amazing. That's amazing. In the person of the Holy Spirit, I'm rejoicing night and day. The Holy Spirit abides. And that's what Stanley has proved all these years. That when you're saved, it's a miracle. The Holy Spirit comes into your life. And when he went through that heart bypass down there in Black Rock, and remember going down a couple of occasions to visit with him, you know, when he went through that operation, the Lord was there. The Lord was there. Because the Lord is not only with his people, he's in his people. What a wonderful comfort. What a wonderful comfort to know that the Lord is with you. His assurance of his presence. To know that he's there. The advocacy. Think of it. Who is there in the Christian? The Jehovah Jireh, the Jehovah Shalom, all that he is, the powerful one, the sufficient one, the El Shaddai. Remember some time ago we talked about some of those names, El Elyon, El Shaddai. He's there. He's in you. He's with you. In the sufferings of life, he's right there. My grace is sufficient. In the storms of life, just as he was in the boat with the disciples, and he arose and said, be still. The Lord is always with his people. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. He's there. You say, well, that's something I've always been taught, but do you realize it? When Moses was sent back to Egypt and he said, I'm too young, I can't speak, I'm not able. What did the Lord say to him? Go, and I will be with thee. You think of this verse, the Lord is there, the name of that city. Well, the city had been destroyed when he wrote this, the city of Jerusalem. But I think not only of the person of Christ and the Christian, the church, but I think of a city that lieth foursquare. And in scripture it's referred to as the New Jerusalem. Church is referred to as the New Jerusalem, of course, too. But the New Jerusalem, if you want to think of the church in that sense, and the church is referred to the city, but the church is going to be in the New Jerusalem in heaven. And it's called in some places of scripture, the city, the city. And you know, in that city, this prophecy will be absolutely fulfilled. Because the Lamb is the light. No need for the sun. Why? Because the glory of the Lord will be there. And we read in the book of Revelation that he shall dwell among his people. The Lord is there. That's what makes heaven heaven. That's what makes heaven heaven. I think I preached that about a year ago, emphasizing people go into these eloquent, descriptive terms all about what they imagine heaven will be like. Well, the greatest thing about heaven is not streets of gold. That's not what I'm looking forward to as a Christian, those type of things. What makes heaven heaven is Christ is there, and he walks with his people, and he leads his people to fountains of living water, and something even more wonderful. Do you know there's a verse in Revelation 3:21? You probably know Revelation 3 and 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. But you know what verse 21 says? He that overcometh, I will grant to him, listen, that he will sit with me on my throne. Not amazing? That's amazing. Heaven. Yes, he'll lead us to fountains of water. Yes, he'll be in our midst. Yes, there's a temple in heaven that talks about. But it says those who come to know Christ as Savior, Christ says, sit with me. Sit down beside me on my throne. And he actually says in the high priestly prayer, John 17, he prays, Father, that they may share my glory. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who was there. Do you know him as Savior? Can you say tonight, I know he's there. He saved me. He's in my life. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. I know he lives. He's there. He's with me everywhere I go. The Lord who is there, Jehovah Shammah. And I'm glad I'm able to go with fellow believers and know the Lord's presence in a special way. But oh, I'm looking forward to that day when in a very special, unique and new sense, the Lord will be there and I'll be with him for all eternity. You can only know that if you're saved. Oh, make sure you're saved and know Christ. Jehovah Shammah, isn't it amazing? As we thought of all these different kings, remember all some of them names hard to pronounce, and all this history of the Old Testament, some people just look at all this history of these kings and they say, oh, that's just nothing to do with us. And they don't realize that right through those historical accounts and through those prophecies of Ezekiel and Jeremiah we looked at last week, there are pictures and prophecies of Christ and salvation. Because the whole Bible is about our blessed Savior.